Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure, I should say this afternoon, I'm on the East Coast, but it's tonight in England where Caroline Nettle is based in the United Kingdom, and I'm so pleased to welcome her back to the show. It's always a pleasure. She's a wonderful speaker, and for one lucky listener, she's going to do an angel reading at the end of the show, so it will be a surprise as to who that is. But let me tell you a little bit about her. Following a successful 15-year career in international sales and marketing, Caroline Nettle's life took a whole new direction when she embarked on a period of intensive self-exploration. This included recovery from a variety of addictions and working in a treatment center for recovering addicts. As a healer, teacher, and writer, Caroline's discoveries bring together all these disciplines and combine them with her passion for helping others overcome life's obstacles and to move forward. She is a natural empath and a medical intuitive who empowers her clients and provides them with the tools to make real, positive change in their own lives and the lives of those around them. Now, as I said, Caroline's going to do one angel reading at the end of the show, but first we're going to talk about being still amidst the chaos. And that's something we all can benefit hearing about and experiencing as we're going through some troubling times now. A lot of chaos. We don't need to get into that, but we may choose to do a little bit of that. At any rate, Caroline, welcome.
Well, thank you again for having me, David. It's always lovely to be on your show and chat to you. And I think this is such a juicy subject at the moment. So thank you for that lovely introduction.
My pleasure. You know, I wanted to tell you and the listeners this. I used to belong to Unity Church, and there was a beautiful soul. She's since passed by the name of Bernice. Now, Bernice was an intuitive and an empath, and she, as a member of the laity of the church, spoke on a number of occasions, I believe 50 occasions over the years, even though she wasn't a minister. And I have all of her recordings on tape. She would channel, and she was a wonderful channeler. She gave me a volume of her channeling that covered about 30 years of her life or more. It was remarkable. But she was also a painter. And she painted a lovely sign that addresses the topic today. And what it said on it simply was, "Peace, be still." And so, Bernice, I remember you today with fondness, and I'm sure that you're enjoying peace, love, joy everlasting, and thank you for touching my life. So anyhow, Caroline, I just felt as if I wanted to share that with you and the listeners, and I am all ears. Let's dialogue, and tell me what thoughts come to you at this moment in time when we think about being still amidst the chaos?
such a big subject, isn't it? But I'm a healer, and I was with a client today, and she's just lost a really, really high-powered job, because in England, the lunacy is such that a lot of the firms have just said that they're not going back to work, and so a lot of the, you know, in a cost-cutting exercise, this lady lost her job. And I was just literally sitting in her energy feeling so grateful. I know this is a really weird thing to say, but I was so grateful that I don't work for somebody else and I don't have their deadlines on my shoulders and I don't have pressure to do, you know, I do what I do because I love it. And I may not be the richest person in the world, but I decide, you know, what time I get up, when I work, what I say to people, etc. And for me, you know, the big phrase that I want to share with your listeners today is I, about 10 years ago, got really anxious about something. And I worked out that I was anxious because I wanted everybody to approve of me. And that obviously is almost impossible. And I decided at that time, and this was about the politics 10 years ago. So if I was doing this now, I think I would just drive myself insane. But I really did say, okay, I can't change anything outside of me. I can't change politics. I can't change climate change. I can't change, you know, it's not in my nature to change the nature of, you know, countries and democracies and all of that. But I can change what's right in front of me, and I can be responsible for how I react to what's going out there. So I made my life a lot smaller, and by that I mean I worked out very recently that I want to work with plants, and I'm just so privileged and I love it and it makes me really calm. And whilst I'm there, it's as if the whole world just goes away, because I found my space where I can just be peaceful and quiet. And there's no TVs in my life, there's no newspapers in my life, there's none of that anymore. I used to be totally addicted to all of that. So it's almost like I've pared back my life, and I really am feeling on the planet that there is a movement. It's a small wave at the moment, but I think it's going to become a tsunami soon, where people are leaving towns and finding a bit of land and communing with nature, and or even getting into their gardens and growing food that in the lockdown here, the nurseries have all, you know, sold out of everything because everybody's like growing things. And so I'm not in favor of the lockdown, but I do think it's brought us back to a real appreciation of what we got. So I kind of went around about seven subjects there, but my thing is I can only do what's in front of me, and I'm doing that with great pleasure, because really, there's things I could get really agitated about, but it doesn't serve my peace of mind. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's the only thing that makes sense, because all we have is this moment. A lot of us spend time ruminating about the past or getting anxious about the future, and it serves no useful purpose other than to make us sad, regretful, anxious, all of those things. And so when we stay in the present moment, this is my opinion, then we can just let it be. We can let our life unfold naturally. We don't need to force anything. And I, too, have refrained from the gossip of the world, if you will. I divorced myself from the news years ago because if there's something big that happens, I hear about it. But for me to be a TV news junkie or newspaper news junkie makes me anxious. And most of the news is negative. And I am eliminating as much negativity as I can from my life because I want to live in the light. I want to be positive. And now I'll take the news in small doses. I do feel that I want to be a little bit more informed than I have been. But when I say small doses, I'm saying I might tune into PBS, our public broadcasting system, once a week. I might listen to something unbiased. There are so many networks that are quite biased in one direction or the other, and I prefer somebody that's neutral and that does not get hysterical about things. So that's my take on the subject. And I think that all that God or a higher power or the universe wants for any of us is peace, love, and everlasting joy. What do you think?
Well, I'll have to disagree a little bit with something that you said, and I don't think there is a single news outlet that is not governed by the same people. That's my opinion. Okay, so we'll leave that as a caveat part. Absolutely, and, you know, for me, who used to be really, really stressed in my business, it made me, in the business, in the corporate world rather, it made me so stressed out and so unhappy, and I had loads of cash, but no soul and no sense of self and no happiness whatsoever. Whereas now, you know, I was saying to someone the other day, you know, I lost everything in a fire 2.5 years ago, and truthfully, in the last 3 or 4 months, I've just come back to me, but I've come back to a completely different me. It was really traumatic and it was really challenging to go through, but I'm so grateful to it because I learned that I was lovable, which I didn't know. I think I said that on your show last time. I learned how much I really love working with the angels and how supported I am by them because I'm not dead, basically. They said, you know, I was seconds away from going with the fire, as it were. And like, it's really shown me this care farming path that I'd never heard of care farming. You know, to be honest, I was a would-be gardener who thought, I'll give it a go and see what happens. And I didn't know that the plants would grow. And of course, really, Mother Nature's so much more intelligent than me. But I was surprised that I really loved it. I was sweaty and hot and literally using horse poo because I had no soil, and everybody told me it was impossible, but by the end of the season, I was like, I feel amazing. I've grown food, and, you know, and now I'm tapping into my ancestors, and I can see that there's lots of really amazing gardeners on my mother's side, and, yeah, so it just feels like everything I've ever done in my life has been leading me to this moment, and, you know, from the point of view of my clients, I really am feeling like everybody on the planet is getting their... is getting the call almost to be something better, to look at what's past and to own it and to move through it, but to really genuinely like leave behind all the stuff they don't want to take into the tomorrow that we're creating. And I, you know, for all the bonkersness that is out there, I'm really positive about tomorrow because I truly feel like the you know, if you want to put it down to something as silly as, I mean, it's not silly, but to, you know, good and evil, I feel like good is winning on the planet. I think there's so many examples of people being kind and growing good food and helping each other out. And I think change is coming, and it's really coming for the better. And my opinion has always been, since I was about 15, I remember saying this, it's like, if your business is about helping others and making the world a better place and getting the homeless off the street and helping the stray dogs and, you know, whatever, just being kind and being of service, I'm 100% convinced that those businesses will flourish. And if it's me more now, I want a yacht and a gold-plated Rolex and da-da-da-da-da, then, well, you know, possibly you won't do as well. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's been with me since I was about 15.
Well, I've had a lot of thoughts as you've been speaking. Let's see if I can gather them. Actually, I want to tell a couple of stories. One is, you talked about being kind. Well, I had a situation happen just last Sunday where I was driving along and I was stopped at a red light, and this woman tapped on my window. She was on foot carrying a couple of bags and said, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, but can you help me, sir? And I said, what is it? She said, well, I'm a nurse and my car has broken down. And I said, what is it you're looking for, a ride? And she said, yes. I said, climb in. So I drove her to her client's home, and then she told me that she did not have enough money for gas and asked if she could borrow some and told me she'd repay it. Well, you know, my inclination is to be kind and generous to a fault. And my gut was saying no, but I gave her $25. I haven't seen it. I haven't heard from her. Lesson learned. I pray for discernment, and I wasn't listening to my gut, which was the discernment part. Now, who knows? Maybe for whatever reason, she just hasn't gotten in touch with me yet, but I'm not counting on it. And I think the moral of the story for me is when I give or loan money to somebody, that it's best for me not to think about getting repaid, but empowering somebody else in their lives to do whatever it is they need to do with those resources, and to take the attitude, if I don't get it back, that they need it more than I do. However, this woman may have lied to me, may have been deceitful, dishonest, whatever, and that troubles me to a certain amount, but I basically have let it go. The other thing is, when you talked about the goodness of people and changing the change on the planet and how, in essence, more and more of us are coming to live in the light, I was thinking about my husband. And I like to believe that about him, but I have shared before that I have a bipolar disorder, and I met him during a mania. I broke up with him years later. Then during another mania, I said, I've been looking for love in all the wrong places, and here it's been in my backyard right along. Will you marry me? And 3 weeks later, we were married. Well, it's turned out that the relationship, unlike any that I've had in the past, has been somewhat toxic. And he has ADD and ADHD, and so there is a lot of chaos. There's a lot of mess and a lot of clutter. And one morning, he was very abusive to me, verbally abusive, and it's happened many times in the past. And finally, it was the last straw, and I said, you have got to go. So he's moving on, and I'm feeling a great sense of peace around that and exhilaration, if you will, because even though I wasn't aware of it, my psychiatrist had said that during the whole time he'd been treating me that I'd had some depression. And for me, I didn't notice it because I used to have abysmal depressions that were suicidal, some of them. So, you know, I guess what I'm coming around to is that we don't need to live in a place of toxicity, that we can detach with love, which I have done. I'm helping my husband out, and I'm leaving the door open, but I think that we will do a lot better living separately, and if for some reason something untoward or unpleasant happens over the telephone, I can just hang up. It's harder to hang up on somebody when they're right in your face. So those are a few things that I wanted to say. I know I've gone around and around the mulberry bush, but I needed to get that out of my system because the topic so applies to me today. So that's what I have to say. That's my story, and I'll stick to it.
So I have a story that hopefully will help your listeners as well, and that is that when you are brought up in a dysfunctional family, as I was, it is very hard for you to know how to act. That's how I'm going to say it. So I lost everything in a fire. We've never been really close. I have two sisters. But one of them said, the one who brought me up said to me, oh, you know, come up here and I'll sell my house and I'll buy a bigger house in a cheaper area and you can live with me. And what I wanted and needed at that time, I was really vulnerable and really traumatized. I wanted my family. So I can see now, it's been 18 months, I've been up here. She's not kind. The first thing that she said when I opened the door, having driven all my plants up here, was, well, you can't stay here. And it really hasn't got very much better than that. So what I'm saying is, it's only in the last 2 or 3 weeks I've had some massive aha moments. I don't know what's going on the planet, but I'm like, I keep going to my family And I expect them to be as kind and generous, and I really am like you, you know, but I'm very loving, I'm very kind and very generous. What I hear her saying all the time is, oh my gosh, Caroline, that's really kind. But I'm stupidly expecting her to treat me in the same way, and she's not me. And also, it's not fair to expect someone to act in the way that I want them to, because that's not who they are. So I very clearly got a big wake-up call about 3 weeks ago. Like, I keep going to my family for something that's, you know, let's say a round peg, and they're a square hole. It's not going to work. So I, now that I know that I can't expect what I expect from them because it's my mistake, I know I have to give that to myself. And it's so empowering. I can't tell you, because every time I turned up, you know, expecting them to treat me the way I wanted them to, I would get hurt. And I've been really, really hurt since I've been up here because I was expecting something they couldn't give me. So sometimes we just have to realize that, you know, a black post is a black post, or a white post is a white post, and allow people to be who they are rather than who we want them to be. And I think, you know, a lot of the reason that I've been running around like a, we say in England, blue-ass fly, just really chasing my tail today, because I did it again today with somebody else. I wanted them to do something for me, and they weren't prepared to offer that. That's the long and the short of it. And, yeah, this lesson is coming up and up and up for me. So it's like everybody, I feel like so many of my clients are coming to me with really old stories that we're having to clear. And it's like, yeah, now is exactly the time to be clearing that stuff. So I know that I'm getting this because it's my turn too. It's all very well talking the right talk and, you know, saying the things that get me popularity or whatever, but I have to do the work on me. So I'm thrilled that I finally got it, because I think I've been doing that all my life. And I just am in the wrong family. And it's not their fault that they can't love me in the way I want to be loved. But what it means is I'm going to take myself away, and I'm going to, I've always, always had really, really, really deep friendships. And that's my family.
Yes.
But I was trying, yeah, you know, so that's what I'm saying. And I realize now I have to go and just find what I need with the people who love me back.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope that's helpful to your listeners, because I think so often we want the wrong thing from the wrong people.
I couldn't agree more. As a gay man, well, first of all, my family was somewhat dysfunctional, but they accepted me and they've been basically loving, but I've had a lot of gay friends who've been estranged from their family. They've been judgmental, abusive, so on and so forth, have cut them out of their lives. And this has left these people with a lot of heartache. And so what they've had to do is create families. And I love what you're saying about embracing friends as family, because a lot of us have dysfunctional families that are toxic. And I love the non-judgmental way you looked at them as being who they are and coming to a place of acceptance around that without judging them, but just recognizing that they are unhealthy for you. And so I love what you were saying. I think that that and again, it comes back to that concept of detaching with love, letting go of what does not serve you at a spiritual or emotional level, and letting go without judgment, letting go with a loving manner towards those that do not serve you well, and then being on your merry way. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that story.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to sound like a saint. I have been really, really ungraceful in all the time I've been expecting things, and I've been going, they don't love me. But the peace that came when I got it finally, I was like, you know, and I'm telling everyone because I'm so pleased that hopefully I won't do it again, except it happened to me today.
Okay. Two steps forward, one step back, and then forward again. Hopefully forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Forward direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really allowing yourself to be human in the process.
Oh, yes, yes. And I love what you were saying about, you know, getting another lesson, getting the same lesson again, because that's what happens. If we don't learn a lesson, it returns to us. And sometimes it's more persnickety and unpleasant than it was before. You know, these are the wake-up calls that we receive from our source, the source of our beings. And, you know, the other thing is, for those that believe in reincarnation, the belief is that if we don't learn the lesson in this life, it's going to come back to us in another life. So, you know, there are a lot of ways to look at it.
Well, again, you know, I did a session on a client, and, you know, I have client confidentiality and stuff, but without giving any details, her past life was so influencing this life. And when we cleared it out for her, my goodness, she looked like a different person. And I don't know, I just seem to, that seems to be my skill set, is really helping people to move through those, you know, who knows what past lives we've all had. We've all been here hundreds of times, and some of those have been good, hopefully.
Yeah,
some of
sure.
Magic or, you know, so, but it's so fascinating what I do. And, yeah, I just, yeah, I think it's just really important that we all find out who we are, what we said we came here to do, you know, what brings us peace. I have a really good girlfriend in Sweden, and she goes for a walk, you know, for 2 hours every day, because that brings her peace. And, you know, that sounds like torture to me, but for her, I'm not a walker. I don't like walking. But, you know, each to their own. We have to find out what, you know, brings us peace. And, you know,
for each
person it will be different.
Yes, well, you know, I'm not a big walker either, but I love nature, and I love being out of doors. There's nothing more soothing than me sitting in my garden and listening to the little waterfall in my pond. Even though it's artificial, I close my eyes, and I think I'm next to a babbling brook. And meditation, I think, is a wonderful way to achieve peace, and some people might think it's just the breathing meditation where you're silent and you don't think about anything, and that's a wonderful form too. But there are a lot of ways that we can meditate. We can meditate with music, we can meditate with yoga, exercise, all kinds of different things. So I had a couple of questions for you. Do you do past life, you do past life work, I gather, with clients?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't do regressions per se. What I do is, like, for example, if your back's really hurting and I go in and this, you know, it doesn't always happen like this, but then I'll say, oh, you broke your back in another lifetime at this time last Tuesday, you know, in the equivalent time. So we need to remove that energy from that lifetime because it's really making your back hurt now, for example. Or sometimes it's like a lesson that you didn't learn in a past lifetime, like the one today, you know, was to do with procreation or something. I don't want to talk about it, obviously. But, and she had really messed up views this time of procreation and what it's for and how amazing it is to be a woman and all of these things. And we just hit on it straight away because I told her the past life story and we let go of that past life. So, yeah, it's fascinating. I am so nosy and I just so. Yeah, I mean, when I learned what I do, they said, oh, you know, every now and again, possibly maybe you might get some past life. I get them all the time. And it's about removing the toxic energy that maybe you brought with you into this lifetime, but also helping you use the lesson that you didn't learn this lifetime to help you move forward this lifetime. So it's truly fascinating. I love it.
Well, I have done past life work, and actually perhaps a dozen have come to me independently, but I have a wonderful guest and friend. I've been on her radio show. She's been on mine. She's one of the more prominent healers that I've worked with, and she has been listed by the psychic that was involved with the Amityville Horror as one of the top 10 psychics in the world. Well, she prefers to be identified as a healer. But her name is Mary Blake, and her biggest life achievement and mission has been something that she calls past life therapy, which is unlike regression. Spirit, through her guides, people to their own understandings of past lives they've had. And I did it with her, and it's wonderful. And if anybody's interested in that, friend me on, go to my website, authordavidclark.com, and leave a comment for me, and I can put you in touch with her. But the other question I had for you, Caroline, is how can people get in touch with you if they want to do work with you?
Oh, bless you. Thank you. And yeah, well, my website is spiritualgrowthtools.co.uk. So spiritualgrowthtools.co.uk. And it's also the same name on Facebook, so you can find me on Facebook and send me a message that way. Yeah, and I, you know, most of my clients don't live anywhere near me. I've got clients all over Europe, America, Canada, South America even. So I do all of my work remotely. So there's no problem if they're in America and or wherever your audience is, and I can work like that, because there's always Messenger and Skype, kind of, or I just record it and then send it on email, depending on each client, of course. But yeah, thank you for that.
Well, yes, but I'll tell you, you said it so quickly. I've got Spiritual Growth Tools at what?
Okay.
What's the
no,
rest of it?
Yeah, .co,
oh, yes.
.uk.
Okay, got it now. I thought you were saying COVID. I thought you were saying COVID, and I'm thinking, talk about chaos.
No.
My God.
That would be funny. No, well, it's just that the guy who owns .com, I've been trying for 10 years, and he won't sell it to me. So I'm stuck with .co.uk, which, is really irritating.
Whatever works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But find me on Facebook, Spiritual Growth Tools. You'll find that easily enough.
Well, that expression, whatever works, certainly applies to what we're talking about today, because, I mean, there's stuff that's functional, there's stuff that's dysfunctional, and it doesn't just have to do with families. It has to do with how we live our lives, if we do hope to be still.
Yes. And, you know, I want to talk here to meditation and breathing, like you mentioned. I mean, it's so important. But I personally have the kind of brain that runs at 900 miles an hour. But I find that when I'm with the plants, I'm so calm. Like, I'm just really calm.
Yes.
So for some people, it's about walking in nature. That brings them calm. For some people, it's sitting in a yoga pose, breathing in and breathing out. But that just doesn't work for me. For some people, it's swimming in the sea. It just, whatever works for you. But the ideal thing is to get your body to chill out, because tense bodies lead to illness. Basically, if I'm running at 900 miles an hour because I've got kids and a job and, you know, hobbies, and I'm trying to socialize and I want to meet a man or a woman and I, you know, blah, 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 it's crazy making. So you have to find a way to kind of eke into your day at least 10 minutes, preferably an hour, where you're literally doing nothing. And unfortunately, we live in a society where if I'm doing nothing, I'm considered lazy or unambitious or whatever. But honestly, it's the best thing for your health. It's the best thing for your peace of mind. And it's the thing we do the least well.
Well, I hear you, and I was thinking as you were talking, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could come up with some bullet points about being still, and maybe we can think about that and come up with some later. A lot of people do run full speed ahead and don't take time to sit and smell the roses or to meditate or to sit in a garden, you know, work with plants as you do. And plants are wonderful, wonderful. I totally forgot about how important it is for me to work in the garden. That focuses me on something that is very soothing.
Well, it's like we work in, you know, let's take the present climate out of the equation, because nobody knows what's going on. So I'll just say, if you work in a corporate office and you get your 2 weeks off a year and you run off and you lie on a beach, that's when you get ill. And the reason you get ill or cranky or whatever it is because you've been pushing your body beyond its capability. If you think we are supposed to live with nature, we are animals just like everybody else, but we've chosen to live in concrete blocks, you know, swimming in, what's the word I want, internet, the Wi-Fi, and eating food that's processed and full of pesticides. Oh, it's just what we do to our bodies. And I was laughing today, and I was saying, you know, if you've got a car and you put gas in it and you drive it and drive it and drive it, eventually it will stop because there's no more gas. But the human body is exactly the same. We feed it all this junk, and then we get to a point where we're tired, so we have a coffee or a Red Bull or, you know, or something that stimulates us, or we go and drink alcohol. And the body's going, but I need rest. I'm really, really tired. But you say, yeah, but I need to go to work. So it's like we just push and push and push and push and push and push until we stop, because the body makes us sick, because it really does need to stop, or because we have some time off. And everybody just gets really poorly because the body's going, right, now I can mend. Now I can fix all those things, so I can fight that virus and I can, you know, do all those things. And I think if we can reel it back from that extreme pressure and just say, you know what? Because for me, that's just, I don't know what my body is or who it is or why it helps me. I have no relationship with my body, and I know that this was me for the longest time. I did not know that I had a body. It was just this, you know, I thought it was just me and my personality. And that journey to learning, oh my gosh, my heart keeps beating without me. My lungs breathe in air. I don't have to do anything. I'm so grateful to you for doing that. My legs walk. I don't have to tell them to walk, but they take me to these beautiful places I like to go. And it was just a very slow journey for me. And it's one I'm so grateful for, because now my body is the most important part of me, because without your health, you have nothing. And I mean, literally, you can have all the money in the bank. If you're unwell, then it's worth nothing. So now when I'm spending time with my plants, I know it's good for me. It makes me feel good. But I'm also outside listening to the birds and watching the trees sway and all that great stuff. And again, I have not got my life down to pat. I'm not perfect, but this has been a very ungraceful and a very undignified journey, but I'm 54, and finally I get that life is more about how much I love myself, my body, my mind, my spirit, my journey. But I've always been here to help other people, and now I can do that because I love myself. It's so interesting to me that so much of our society just is in massive self-hatred. I find that really sad.
Well, self-love is so important, and as you pointed out, it involves many different aspects of self that that we really need to come into balance with. I also was thinking, unrelated to what you were talking about, how I like to move into a positive direction and into the light, but some people need to come at it from the backward side, the don't do's. And, you know, so many of us disconnect. Oh, you were talking about the internet. That's what made me think about how we disconnect from other people at a real level, where we're actually talking with them, be it in person or on the phone. But so many people are involved in addiction. And you've talked about your past with that. I have had a problem with addiction. And I once heard a wonderful spiritual teacher by the name of Anthony DeMello say that to be human is to be addicted. We can be addicted to so many things that disconnect us from our spirits. And so we need to let go of that stuff. And that's not easy.
No, it's not. All graceful, usually. But I feel we're at this crossroads,
yes,
energetically on the planet, and it just feels like if you really want to hang on to your past and all that emotional baggage that's weighing you down and all your problems, and if you really, really want to you know, hang on to that, now is the time to decide that that's what you're going to do. For the rest of us that want a better future, that want to help the world rebuild after all these problems, and that really feel hopeful about the future, let go. Take off the rucksacks, take off the heavy coats, and just let it go. I mean, I'm talking to you after a good 30-year journey with this, so it's not a quick thing, but I just feel like if you genuinely say to yourself, I'm definitely going to let this go, then it will go. And I really encourage anyone who's sitting on the fence to decide for a great future that's going to include all of us. I mean, yeah, I feel quite passionate about that.
Well, you know, you talked about 30 years. I can think of, people don't know how old I am, and maybe you'll figure it out when I tell you this, but I started working on myself when I was 40, and I started letting go of addictions. Alcohol was the first one 32 years ago, and it's been a real journey, and there's so much learning, and I'm a slow learner. I mean, some people can do what I've done in 5 years that it took me 40 years to do. But I'm so grateful for the place I'm in today. I can say I truly love myself, and I love other people better because of that. I think it's really very difficult to extend unconditional love to somebody else unless you achieve that for yourself. What do you think?
Yes, and we live in a society that wants a quick fix from a doctor or a dentist or a medic or a TV show, and unfortunately, yeah, it's not for sale. It's something about, you know, it's almost like along the lines of what we're talking about. It's like, if I don't go in and find out who I am and find out where my fears are, my insecurities, the bits I hate about myself, the warts and all tough, then I'm never going to be able to really love somebody else, because I will come to the relationship, if I have a new relationship, as someone who's not whole, because I don't accept the parts of myself that I want them to make me feel like that and all of that. So, yeah, it's definitely, but we're not encouraged. You know, I remember in the early days of my recovery when I was barking mad, I mean truly bonkers, and thinking that it was all very selfish. Like, I have to talk about me. I have to talk about me all the time in all those meetings. But actually, when you get to a point where you're really okay talking in public about your, you know, I've had a really bad day today, or it's been a really good day today. And I think what meetings gave me was the, you know, was this thing about, yeah, but as I talk through my problems, and I'm not saying everyone has to go to the meetings, they don't, but
no.
It worked for me.
Yeah.
And it just got me used to being in the room. I had never been in the room before. I'd been so checked out the whole time and, you know, distracted by everything. And but the best thing I ever, 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 ever did was get rid of my TV. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, just don't. Yeah, it's just rubbish.
Well, that, I think there's some things that are worthwhile watching on TV, but that's a good way to become addictive and a junkie. You know, I know people that turn on the TV and sit in front of it all day long. They retire and they don't have any other interests or don't explore their passions, and that's what they're reduced to, sitting in front of the TV.
Yeah, and, you know, wow, is the world going to change because people are watching their TV? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it needs us all to stand up and be authentic and in integrity and, you know, and for each person listening to this and, you know, for the people who are going to listen to it in the future, everybody knows inside of them what they're supposed to do. Some people need a bit of coaxing for it to come out, but most, you know, if I look back at my life, really, I spent all my money being outdoors. I was off whale watching. I went to see gorillas. You know, I did a lot of, you know, glaciers, and it's all natural. So I get really sick when I'm in concrete for too long. So it's about listening to those signs. So it was never, I was never told go and do plants, but wow, I'm glad I found them because they make me really happy. So, and that's another thing I could maybe help with if people want to get in touch. You know, we could do an angel reading and find out what it is you're supposed to be doing and, you know, what's stopping you moving forward and all sorts of things like that. It's such a privileged life I lead, because I really do see the difference in people, you know, when I've worked with them, and it's so good to see someone going from really depressed to, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm off now, bye, and it's like, oh, that just feels so, so good.
Yes. Well, let's go to the angel reading, and I'm going to encourage those of you who are not getting the angel reading to listen to the whole thing, because no matter how long it takes, you know, and we only have 15 minutes and it may not take that long, if you listen to the reading and see what benefit it can be to the lucky caller, you will want to have an angel reading with Caroline yourself. So please listen, and if you choose not to, so be it. But I think it will be of benefit to you. And a lot of times when somebody is reading for one person, it actually ripples down with things that other people can relate to that they may need to address in their lives, or messages from Spirit to them. So I don't know how you feel about that, Caroline, but would you be ready to talk to the caller?
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it on.
Okay. All right. I am going to go to area code 205, and she is live. I know who it is because I did talk to her before the show. I must fess up. Her name is Patricia.
Hi, David. Hi again. Can you hear me, David?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Hi,
I'm on headset. Hi, Caroline. Thank you so much. I will have to say I have really enjoyed the show thus far. You both have been talking and making this so interesting, as if I'm talking to my good guy friend and my good girlfriend. And also, I have had chills the whole time you have been talking, as if you're talking about me. A lot of this resonates because it sounds like my life. I know we all can pretty much understand an addiction, where my addiction was smoking. And thank God, 4 years ago, I have not smoked, you know, in 4 years. So, but everything resonates. It's beautiful. Even self-love at one point. I can remember just questioning a lot of things in my life. And when you have other people who depend on you, such as my children who are now young adults, when you're struggling like that and you have little ones or even family members that depend on you, you know, you have to get somewhere and try to get yourself together. And you may not even be functioning at the capacity that you need to, but that doesn't matter. If you are the provider, you have to provide. If you are the caregiver, then you have to caregive. But what is that to say if you're not even caring for yourself, loving yourself, and keeping yourself in a good place? So all of what you both talked about has, oh, my God, I have smiled to know that I have. And still, I'm on this journey, but I have healed. I do love. I am a caregiver, and I can care for others because I know how to care for me. I know how to love me. So it's just, I don't know if that's why I have these chills, because, you know, because it's so beautiful to understand that struggle and then to. I've been in that relationship with that was just not so right, that I questioned myself, you know, maybe it's me, but not knowing that it's that person. And I thank God was removed from that by the grace of God and with his help, because sometimes we, even during the times when we are getting beat up and battered and, you know, sometimes we don't even know how to remove ourselves. We're so caught up in the destruction, we don't know how to remove ourselves. So, therefore, thank God for prayer and prayer being answered, because he has to come in sometime and remove us. And we then, even at that time, feel like, oh my God, what? No, I don't want to go. This is terrible. Not knowing that this is the best thing ever. This is He's saving our life.
The thought that occurred to me as you were talking is I would love to have you as a guest on my show to talk about prayer, and I'm being genuine, but I want to give Caroline enough time to do an angel reading with you, and I think you could help me talk for an entire show, so let's do a show. What do you think? I'm serious.
That was great. I'm sorry, Caroline. I just had to get that out. It was bursting. I was bursting at the seam to say all of that, but yes.
It was beautiful. And you know you have the most gorgeous accent. I love it. Your accent is beautiful. But do you want to hear what the angels were saying whilst you were talking?
Quick question. Yes. Patricia, are you free November 13th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time? Check it out.
Eastern.
Check it out, and
okay.
I'll call you back some other time, all right?
Sounds great. Thank you, David.
Okay.
I will be honest.
I'll leave it
Thank
to you,
you,
too, now. I'll leave it to you,
okay.
too.
Thank you. Yes, Caroline,
Okay, so I see you as a general. You know, like I'm seeing little tiny figurines, and you have, like, you're in the front and all these people are following behind you. And I feel how deeply you take your responsibility and how strongly you believe in your creator. And I love that. And none of that is a criticism. But what they are saying is, you know, you can only be a good general, almost exactly what you said. You can only be a good general if your tank is 100% full. And one of the ways that you give away your power, I'm feeling, is by trying to please all of the people all of the time. And you're being asked to kind of rein that back in a little bit so that you're giving what you need to give to those you need to give it to. And I'm just, what I'm feeling is, you know, you've got your family around you, and then you've got friends, and then you've got people who know you. And as I get into the outer circles, I'm just like, and you say yes to everybody, which is great because it makes you popular, but it really depletes your batteries, right? So what the angels are encouraging you to do, kind of just, I almost want to say, think about what's important and do that. And then if you've got any energy left after the end of that, but I would say take a bit of time for you as well. But then that's when you go out and say, you know, I could help with that. But do it for fun and for free. And here's my little tip. So if I do something for somebody because I want them to like me, that's not for fun and for free, and I'm being really deceitful. If I do it because I really don't mind and it's really going to help them and it's for fun and for free, then that's brilliant. So what you're being asked to do is do what's important, take some time for you, and then help others if you can. And I really feel like you need to hear. So what I'm seeing is these angels are just wrapping their big wings around you, and it's like you're getting a really big celestial cuddle. And they want you to know how loved you are and how much it's important for you to stand in your personal power, because I'm going to go back to the beginning. I know I don't have much time, but I'm going to go back to the beginning because you are a leader, and they need you to lead. And you don't know what you're going to be leading, because you've still got a small family, but I feel like as your family grows up a bit, so in years to come, so not tomorrow, but I feel like there's going to be a time where you're called upon and you absolutely need to know good boundaries and how to help those that need it and say no when it's not convenient to you. So I'm going to make that a short reading because I think there's some answers that you're going to ask me some questions, and that's fine, but I really feel that the message is, fill your own batteries at first, then look after your family, then look after your friends, then look after yourself, you know what I mean? And stop trying to please everybody all of the time. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Excellent.
Good. Because you're going to be called upon, and it's exciting. I don't know what it is, but it feels like, yeah, you're in training for then. And, yeah, I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Caroline, for the beautiful message. I thank all of my angels. I guess that's what the chills. I don't know if they're touching me, or you just said they were hugging me. And so just makes me cry. But the whole time you were talking, you and David, I just felt these tears, literally the hair on my skin has stood up, you know. So I just embraced my angels and I love them. And again, thank you. Thank you, David, for your question.
Oh, you're welcome. Patricia,
so welcome.
I have another thought for you and the listeners, and that is this. I don't know if people are aware, but I do a show on Sunday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern U.S. time called The Healing Circle. And I would like to dedicate this week's topic to the power of prayer. I still would like to have you come on and speak about that on November 13th. But if you're free Sunday night at 8:30 p.m., I would love to have you join the discussion. It's a talk show format, discussion, topical discussion, where everybody gets to share. And I co-host the show with Kat Edwards, who's a clairvoyant and spiritual teacher from Australia. And we do different topics every week. They're all brilliant, in my opinion. And so I invite people to join us, and you too, Patricia. It's the same call-in phone number. Again, it's Sunday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay, got it. I'm writing it down. I know I can go back and listen to the show to get it.
Sure.
I
yep.
am. So is it okay? Do you need me to confirm that I'll be, that I can come on the show, or is this the type of show, like you said, that we could just call in and
yes, it's a call-in show, and I will call you tomorrow or Sunday about coming on the show, this show on November 13th. So just check your calendar, and I'll be in touch with you. I've got your phone number written down, and Caroline. Thank you so much. You are brilliant. You are genuine, and you are probably the best guest I have for dialoguing, because a lot of my guests, God bless them, go on and on and on, and I can't get in a word edgewise. And I appreciate the fact that you value my contribution as well.
Of course. I can't learn if I'm not listening. That's my motto.
None of us can we?
Well, thank you so much for having me on again, David. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. I'm. If you'd stay on the line after I close out, I would like to try to set up another date. If you have your diary book, I don't know if you have one for next year.
I do.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, God bless. And everybody, let's take a moment to reflect upon the thought that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Good afternoon and God bless.